welcome to The American Pulse. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is a show that seeks to listen, express, and amplify the voice of the American people, no matter where you live in this great nation. We are unabashedly pro-humanity, pro-freedom, and pro-America. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to The American Pulse. One of the dynamics that we've all seen is how much the establishment uniparty distorts what is really going on in the Republican Party, both here in Washington State and in our greater nation. Disguised as true conservatives, this group works to undermine a true conservative movement by any means necessary, blocking all forward movement, creating a division in the party when there really isn't one, and targeting great conservative candidates, even ones with impeccable military service records, and digging and reframing to smear these good Americans by any means necessary. Now, why do they do this, you ask? Well, because they're funded by the same sources that fund the Democrat Party, thus the name Uniparty. They are set up to look like opposition, all the while laying traps and creating distractions and diversions so we the people never really understand what's going on. And it's not working. We the people know these Uniparty trolls by name, face, and deed. It is in their very actions and in their speech, which makes the whole game of putting the wins at the sail of a true conservative movement quite easy, right? We are tasked with identifying constitutional conservatives that will fight for us, not the globalist Marxist communists. We've had enough of that, which is why I'm so excited by the work my guest is doing today. A military veteran that started a PAC to identify and fund great constitutional conservatives to continue to serve our great nation in local and state politics. This is a God-centered mission, and we believe that God has a specific plan for America, and radical Marxists or spineless uniparty trolls will not change our destiny. We have already set sail, and with good Americans like my guest today, I, for one, am optimistic. Enjoy the episode. Today's episode is brought to you by the Renton Printery. From huge outdoor banners to small hard hat decals, the Renton Printery produce top quality, customizable, full color decals, business cards, letterhead, envelopes, signs, table tents, and more. The Renton Printery is a small, independent, veteran-owned business since 1957. For all your printing needs, go to www.rentonprintery.com. And now, on to our episode. My guest today is Michael Avila. Michael is an entrepreneur working in the real estate development space, an Air Force veteran who served from 1988 to 1995, and one of the founders of the Patriots of Liberty, a political action committee with a timely and relevant mission, something we talk about at length today. Here is my interview with Michael Avila.
Okay, I am here with Michael Avila, patriot and veteran Michael Avila. Michael, welcome to the American Pulse. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Tony. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, you and I, we made a connection at the Lincoln Day dinner. We travel in some of the same circles, and I've been wanting to have you on. You started the new PAC called Patriots of Liberty. We're going to talk all about that. But before we really get going, just let our listeners know a little bit about yourself, your background, maybe where you grew up and how long and in what capacity you served in the military.
Okay, sure. I grew up here in Washington, Puyallup, Washington. And pretty much have lived here my entire life with the exception of military service. I enlisted into the United States Air Force while I was in high school on the delayed entry program. My enlistment was for 8 years, which was 4 active and then 4 inactive reserve when I enlisted. And at that time, you know, I wanted to see the world, and I really wanted to be an F-15 crew chief. So I went out to get education from the military as well. So after I graduated high school, I went in active duty into the Air Force and did my 4 years of active duty. And I was fortunate enough to be based on my first base, a real base after boot camp and technical school was Alconbury, England, where I worked on the A-10 Warthog, and I was a fuel system specialist and crew chief. I cross-trained into crew chief. That's what I was supposed to be originally, and did airframe and all kind of neat stuff. And so it gives you a good perspective on life, what's going on right now at Ukraine. And, you know, the Berlin Wall came down when I was over there and everything. And then from there, I had orders to Fort Walton Beach, Florida for special operations at Herbert Field. And I was in a little bit of purgatory because the Gulf War had broke out and they froze my orders. Another good experience. I was able to launch all the A-10s over to the first Gulf War. And then we had air superiority right away. So they went ahead and cut me loose, sent me to first special operations. And I ended up going to the desert with for special operations. That gave me perspective on a lot of things that were happening then and what are happening now with Venezuela and Iran. And that's what gave me exposure to these special operators, just some really amazing people, super patriotic, amazing people. And like I said, I had great experiences in the military overall. Today, I am, I did go active duty reserve too when I came out of active duty Air Force. So early mid 90s, I was at McCord Air Force Base in the reserves for a couple of years. But today I'm a real estate investor and a commercial real estate broker. I've been in business since I left the military. And really without the military instilling that discipline and leadership in me, I don't think I'd be where I'm at today. I mean, I was working two jobs, you know, when I first got out of the military for about 8 years while I was trying to get my real estate career on path. And so aviation was slow when I first got out, which was all my education and knowledge and experience. So I was doing construction, and then Boeing finally called me and I went and worked nights at Boeing for functional tests for a while. And all this time I was in the real estate business. So I owe a lot to this country and the United States military for everything that's happened to me. I feel I wouldn't be here today without them or the United States Air Force. My dad was in the Air Force for 4 years as a military police, and he was actually based in England when he was in for almost his whole 4 years. And that's where he met my mother. So, and then I was fortunate to be based in England, right around all that British family that I'd never met before. And that's where I ended up meeting my wife. And we were married right before the start of the Gulf War. And my poor newlywed wife, came to Herbert Field, Florida with me, which some people call a redneck Riviera. And she ended up having to stay there by herself while I was deployed, you know, being from a foreign country. And it's that camaraderie and support of other military members, you know, that are in your shop or squadron that lend a lot of support to those spouses while we're overseas. But yeah, she's kept me grounded, and she's put up with my ambitions and workaholic nature for 36 plus years now. So you can see, without the United States Air Force, my father being based in England, I'd possibly never be here and possibly never have met my wife that I've been married to for 36 years. So
what a great story, you know, and also that, you know, I can hear what you got out of the military, that you were willing to do what it took to get everything going the way you wanted it to, that discipline to stay with it. It's so great. You know, you started Patriots of Liberty, a PAC, and the little subtitle or subheading is to educate, empower, and support military veterans who possess the drive and qualifications to run for political office. This is a great, great thing you've started. What was the motivation? What had you begin Patriots of Liberty? And when did you start it, actually?
Our soft launch was Veterans Day of 2024. And a few of us had always talked about having something like this, and people that I didn't even really know that well. Just everyone has their own opinions on how to try and fix what we have or get some military people into office. I was part of the Lead the Way pack on the Jesse Jensen campaign when he was running for the 8th Congressional District. But what really spawned me is, I mean, it even starts pre-Jesse Jensen. I've always looked at the military veterans that were running and look for their qualifications and try and support them. But what I found with these guys that have ran over the years, and, you know, if you want to name names, I would say like Keith Swank, Jesse Jensen, Joe Kent, Sammy Byrd, Matt Marshall, they just get beat up and their military records are used against them and distorted. Negative connotations, you know, they're militant, they're bombastic, they're this, they're that. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that a lot of them haven't been around our area, haven't lived in the area for decades sometimes, right? Maybe they were based at JBLM, but they were deployed a lot and from a different state. They ended up retiring here and they want to continue to serve. And I think either political party, there's a structure to it, and military guys get out and we're gung-ho and we're fast paced, high energy, and walking a straight line or running a straight line. And it seems like the establishment wants them to take a breath, you know, and fit into their beliefs.
Yeah.
And they don't support them. So anyway, I kind of got tired of sticking all my hard-earned money into whether it's ATROC or political candidates that weren't going to make it through the establishment. And we thought, you know what, let's just do what they're doing and start our own pack. And really, you have to be a military veteran that was honorably discharged. You have to be a constitutional conservative. We say we're a bipartisan pack. You can be Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian. The point is you understand the Constitution and believe that this is a constitutional republic.
Yep.
And you've already raised your hand and swore an oath to uphold the Constitution and defend the Constitution of the United States. So that's what we'd expect out of anyone that's running for office. I feel a lot of politicians don't even understand any of that. And they don't understand that they have not only a constitutional duty, but a fiduciary duty to do what's right. And they're not subject matter experts on everything they're voting on. And we have people that just vote out of ideology only. So I thought it was a good way to get these guys that are coming out of the military, want to continue to serve, very mission focused, already had raised their hand and swore an oath to defend this Constitution of ours and this country of ours, put their blood, sweat, and tears on the battlefield. I think they deserve to be in office. And I, like we said, we looked back in time and it's on our website. If you go back to the 50s and 60s, we had 80% military veteran in Congress, thereabouts. I think it's higher than that sometimes. Every president since Eisenhower to Carter were military veterans. And then something shifted and happened, you know, maybe it was Vietnam War, maybe it was some of the educational system in the colleges, universities. But as soon as we started hitting the late 60s, early 70s, we saw that taper off. And I thought I saw some numbers. We were down to almost 8% military veterans at one time serving in Congress.
Wow.
I think when Obama took office, it was 20-25%. Today, we're at 25%. We came back up from that 8%. And I guess the other part of setting up this pack was we thought, wow, those were the happy days in the United States.
Yep.
And where I grew up, it was like Leave It to Beaver. I mean, we were poor, but it was a great upbringing. We were safe on the streets. We didn't have all the homeless people and all the things we have today. Yeah. People worked hard. So
there was a lot of pride in the country. And that was across the political spectrum. Democrats, centrists, libertarians, conservatives. Everybody, remember that? Like how proud people were. Like I grew up with Ronald Reagan, and that was like, everybody was just so proud, you know, the Olympics. And when we beat the, like, there was such a pride in being American in that, and what our country stood for. And I feel like, you know, those that don't love this country have done a really good job of watering all that down, saying nationalism's bad, pride in your country or even your race is bad. Like you should just all be ashamed of what America is. I don't understand it. I get the propaganda, but I think what you're proposing is fantastic because, you know, it sounds like a low bar, like understand the Constitution and be a constitutional conservative. But in fact, the bar is pretty high because there isn't a lot of people representing us right now in this state or on the national scene, is there?
No, that's what I think, Tony. And I actually think, to your point, it's the opposite of that, that we've gotten to this point where they think government's role is to give our money to other people.
Yeah.
And because maybe those people have less than, and that's not what this country is about, right? It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you don't want to work hard and you don't want to be happy, that's your right too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not your right as a politician to spend our money on other people. They have their job is supposed to keep us safe and provide some infrastructure. And I think we need to get back some simplicity with the role of these politicians. And not every military veteran comes out and thinks this way. And I encourage them all. We're trying to encourage them all to take some of the Hillsdale College constitutional courses, you know, before they run. We're encouraging them to become PCOs and maybe start out on a council seat or a school board seat and kind of get the feel of how things are working. And so, no, you're right. And that's what we did. We looked back. If you look at JFK, he would probably be considered a hardcore conservative today.
He would. Know?
As a Democrat, and he was a military veteran. That's some of the, I think that's kind of the defining thing that the conclusion we came to is these veterans are worldly. They've traveled, you know, and so what we saw is 20, 30 years of conflict and war, right? Over the last few decades, similar to World War II. So if you think, okay, World War II happened, and there was a huge veteran population that came into the civilian life and had that will to serve and continue to serve. And they ended up being our congressmen and our presidents, council members. During that 50s and 60s, it was a big group of people. And so I think we have that same opportunity today. However, they're pushed out of the system. So they need a mechanism so that they are empowered and they are encouraged and they are educated on how to run and why they're running. And so that's what we'd love to help them do. And that's what we'd love to educate the civilian population on to why this is the best method. So I think everybody wants a little change today. And I think it's a good way to change direction and get to the goal line we want to be at, right?
Yeah. And I think what you said earlier is really important in that you took a look at kind of the narrative battlefield, the political battlefield, and realized that every time veterans get up there, they get whacked. You know, they get out, you know, the establishment or the uniparty, whatever you want to call it, you know, the mechanisms of the status quo attack them, attack their military service. So Semi Bird is a good example. Great candidate, and he just got mauled. And I think like having a pack that's got the veterans' backs, I think, is super important. I think it's a great strategic move. I really am looking forward to supporting you guys. You know, I wanted to ask you about how this all ties into President Trump, because as a conservative in a blue county, well, King County is one of the bluest counties out there. You know, there's this kind of notion that you can't show your support for the president or even the country. Like you can fly an American flag out your porch, but you can't really say how much you support President Trump, because they're like, you know, that's going to alienate or piss off a lot of people. But I don't change allegiances very easily. Like, I am in Trump's camp. I feel like he has got brass balls and that he has put the country first. And I think it's shocking to the left, because we've had Obama and Clinton, people that put the globalist agenda before the country and the people of this country. And President Trump's not doing that. He's like country first, right? And then he's got all these great military veterans in his cabinet. So I just feel like, you know, if you're going to be a conspiracy theorist, you could be like, wink, wink, he was selected by the military. But without even doing that, I feel like he's running the country a little bit like you're talking about, which is putting veterans in important spots. Why? Because they're really smart. They took an oath to the Constitution and they understand what is good for the country is good for us. And so I just want to get your thoughts on that. Sometimes I run into conservatives here that don't like President Trump. Why? Because he's mean when he tweets stuff. I don't care about that, right? I just want him to represent the country in a good way, get us good deals, you know, create a future that we can be proud of. There's so many things that need to be fixed, but I feel like he's put a lot of things in motion, a lot of people in the right places to fix those things. But I wanted to get your two cents worth on that, because I run into people that are all kinds of thoughts about this guy.
No, I love President Trump. And you're right. I mean, think about, of course, he wasn't a military veteran, and we don't know what he's done to help our military and our country through his business career. But all his actions and words are the same. Iran's an example of that. He's acted on Iran the same way he's talked about it since the 80s. He hasn't changed his mind. And I think he gives peace a chance, but he understands, you know, if it's not working, then we have the military might and resolve to solve these issues and get to that peace. But the other thing, to your point, the other thing I really love about the guy is, you're right, he's got a whole cabinet full of veterans. You have, you know, J.D. Vance, Pete Hegseth, Tulsi Gabbard, Doug Collins, Mike Waltz. I mean, the whole cabinet is full of these military veterans with high leadership ability, high education. I hear the press making fun of them like they're not qualified. But well, what's so sad is our sitting senators, even on both sides of the aisle, and congressmen and governors stating that about these veterans that are very highly educated, highly disciplined, serve their country, which most of those people talking smack about them have not, right?
Yep.
And they're doing a great job. And it's different. It's not the same old that we've dealt with for all these years. And who is more qualified? I mean, Pete Hegseth or Hillary Clinton? Right. So we've had presidents that have appointed these positions to non-military veterans for Secretary of Defense, now Secretary of War, basically just pundit politicians having these positions of power, right? Like Secretary of State. And it's utterly ridiculous. All the meanwhile, we just keep trudging along, creating more debt, which is the next, I think that's the next big mission, is to get rid of our debt and have a, churning economy. But, I think President Trump's doing a fabulous job. I don't know how he gets everything done in a day or a week or a month. I mean, the guy's a stud. You know, the assassination attempts on his life, the impeachments, the ridicule. And you're right. That's what they did to Semi Byrd, the ridicule and degrading and divisiveness and just trash this person to try and crush them. And Trump's prevailed. So, no, I love the guy. People should look up to him. And I think he's doing an amazing job.
Do you think we'll see sound elections in the midterms? You know, we got the Save America Act. We've got, this whole thing of like Trump wants to put in-person voting with ID, which I think is fantastic because we've had so much. I don't think anybody really trusts the election process, whether that's local, state, or national. I think there's been so between Dominion and software switching votes and then trucking in, a van full of Biden votes in the next day. Like we've seen so many things. And I think the Democrats also don't really trust it. I think they think we could easily rig it, right? So do you think it will make a big difference? Do you think we can restore the elections? Because right now it's a big problem that one side or the other could sway in a way that maybe the will of the people was not represented by that candidate. Do you think it'll make a big difference? Are you optimistic about that particular thing?
Well, at a minimum, it's a start.
Yeah.
And I've stated if politicians aren't for election security, then they're for corruption and exactly. They have an ulterior agenda. And I say, you and I, Tony, can travel around the world, use our credit card in several different countries during that travel, come back home, get a detailed bill that shows where you spent your money and how much you spent. And nobody else sees that credit card statement but you. And no one else is paying for that credit card bill but you.
Yep.
So then you can go to the hospital, have surgery, and nobody can see your medical files because of HIPAA and blockchain technology and firewalls and everything else they have to protect that information, right? So why can't we have ballots that have an electronic fingerprint and are uniquely identified to you as the voter personally?
Yeah.
And to get that, you do have to show that you are a citizen of the United States through your identification, and you'll have that electronic identification that's on your ballot when they print ballots.
Yeah.
There would be zero corruption because a computer could count those ballots, and any anomaly that wasn't part of the 5 million plus ballots with a unique code would be tossed out.
Yeah.
So today we get an envelope with a ballot. We sign the envelope, but our ballots are in our precincts are not any different than your neighbor's ballot. So when they remove that ballot from the envelope, it could be anybody's ballot. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to track your ballot online through a secure porthole and know that your ballot was counted and it was counted in a way that you voted?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. You know, like an incorruptible blockchain that is like, oh, no, there's my vote. I can see it right there. Nobody can change it. Nobody can, I think it's we've come so far technologically, and we're living in the dark ages when it comes to election integrity. It's almost like, because if you're not going to apply technology in a good way, you can just leave it run the way it is because it's got so many back doors to changing votes and shipping in ballot. There's so much shenanigans. It shows that whoever is really in charge of election integrity so far, I'm not naming names or anything, so far, they don't want to do it because it's working really well to have back doors. Does that make sense?
Total sense. And yeah. I've brought it up to some of our legislative body and, you know, they say, well, there's state law that prohibits us from identifying ballots. But to your point, maybe we need to change those laws and get into the 21st century and have a foolproof system.
Yeah. Yeah. What has you optimistic right now? Like I ask this question on both my podcasts quite regularly because I'm a natural optimist. I feel like it's a superpower of Americans to be optimistic, even though we're staring down all this corruption. And in blue states, you know, we've had this like locked in uniparty, you know, just like controlling the status quo where we can't quite. But a lot of people I talk to still remain, whether it's their faith or, you know, they see a lot of forward movement. Like what has you feeling like, hey, I'm excited about the future. I feel like, you know, there's this kind of can-do attitude in Americans where just because the chips are down or just because we've lost up till now doesn't mean we're going to keep losing. And I think it's a really important thing to ask people and to get their thoughts on, you know, what has you optimistic? Because I feel like the black pillars, all the doomers that are constantly put, you know, oh, everything's going to hell and AI is taking, it's like, it doesn't really help. Like, what are we going to do as people, as Americans, to problem solve this technology, to problem solve the elections? How do we get good people in as leaders? You know, what is it that is maybe your thing that's got you really excited and optimistic about, you know, maybe the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, you know, going back to the Patriots of Liberty, that's one thing that gave us optimism is there are so many veterans leaving the military right now with high skill set, qualification, and patriotism. So that was one of the things that gave us that optimism. Say, okay, let's try and see if these people want to continue service and become politicians with all of that we've mentioned. And I think that's going to change things. Donald Trump getting elected, you know, the second time here, that was some more optimism. I mean, he won in a landslide. And that tells you there's a shift in the country from the left to the right, and also some common sense. Yeah. So I think, you know, we've had a lot of headwinds. And probably the baby boomers voted a certain way. Gen Z seems to be super conservative, maybe a little more interested in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. So, I think so, yeah.
You know, they say we're the modern day longest living democracy in the world. And I mean, that should give you some optimism too. And I think that's where you go back to, we're a constitutional republic and it's hard to break. So we do have a balance of government. The pendulum swings wildly one way and then, you know, might swing wildly the other. But all in all, America always seems to find its balance and continue forward.
That's great. Well, thank you, Michael, for coming on American Pulse. Where can people find? I'm going to be supporting Patriots of Liberty. I'm really excited and proud to support you guys because I really believe in your mission. Where can people find you, the PAC? How can they support you? And do you need anything in regards to the PAC that you might want to let our listeners know about?
Sure. So you go to our website, thepatriotsofliberty.com. And then also here in the next couple of months, we'll be having an America 250 kickoff and fundraising event. This will be on June 27th at McMillan Farms in Puyallup, which is near Ording. And that'll be out on our website soon and probably out on all the social media. And it'll be a great time for people to meet our endorsed candidates where they can meet and greet and actually talk to them in person and have the debates. Maybe you and I have, Tony.
Yep.
So it'll be a good time. And I think as far as support, obviously we're like any other political action community where our goal is to raise a war chest, and our war chest right now, it's 100% volunteers in the PAC with just one mission, and that's to get quality veterans elected. And so we hope to compete, help them compete, you know, by doing our own advertising on their behalf as a PAC. And I think the more people can contribute, the better. And just know that your money's going, 100% to the cause, not into administration.
Yeah. Thank you. Michael, thank you so much for coming on American Pulse. God bless you and your work. I love your mission. And I'd love to see this movement of really high qualified veterans moving into raising their hand, saying, I want to continue to serve. I think that is the movement. And I just really love it. Thank you so much for taking time talking to the American Pulse today. Super appreciate what you're doing. And thanks for your insight and your wisdom today.
Yeah, no problem, Tony. And I do want to give a shout out and thank the people that have helped start this pack and create this pack. So like I said, they're 100% volunteer. And one of them's Matt Marshall, who is actually in office now, finally, after a lot of negativity. But Matt's our LD2 state rep. And Joey Jones, who supported us right out of the gate at our first like soft launch Veterans Day event. And then Jack Spence and Russ Vandersnick and Ryan Lundeen and Riley Lundeen for being at the front of this and giving all their time and resources and asking for nothing in return.
Love it. Thank you so much, Michael. Be in touch and thanks again today.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Take care.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. What a great job Michael is doing with Patriots of Liberty. I've marked my calendar for June 27th to go down and support the Patriots. If you're in the Seattle area or anywhere in Washington State, come join me. We'll be there throwing our support to great candidates and a great cause. That's it for me. And now on to our final piece, Chairwoman Julie Lansdowne's wrap up and blessing. Thank you, listeners.
Another great episode from our Tony Rezac. I'm just left so inspired at what the Patriots of Liberty are going after and the success that they're having. Many are noticing the shift that we're seeing in the people of our country engaging in the government of our country, and the sense of discouragement is just running out of places to hide. I love it. Thank you, Mike Avila and the Patriots of Liberty team, for the vision, the tenacity, and moving the ball down the field for all of us. I've shared this before, but I got into government inspired by my grandfather's service in World War II, inspired to ask myself, what does service look like for my generation? This brilliant connection that Patriots of Liberty recognize, that those who have served to protect and defend our country, that when their assignment of duty is complete, for many, it doesn't mean their mission is. Maybe you've served in our military and you're not finished fighting for our country either. I encourage you to go to our website and stay on mission. This is an incredible time to be alive. We are witnessing the restoration of our nation by those who love her, and that love won't be stopped. I'm thankful that America is built on a foundation of righteousness and justice, and that our government will only increase in virtue as the people engage. Patriots of Liberty is doing just that. Let's do this, King County.